Chapter 5. Nothing Ordinary. A few weeks later, Larry and Janice met with the Tongs to give them a progress report. "So, how is your refiring journey going?" Harold asked, handing Larry and Janice glasses of iced tea. "We think we've taken some real strides toward refiring emotionally," said Larry. "Tell us about it," said Wendy. "Ever since our meeting with you, Larry and I have made a concerted effort to make our important relationships with each other, our friends, and our family even better," said Janice. "We've become more spontaneous. We're reaching out, opening ourselves up to new opportunities, and looking for ways to break the patterns we've developed with so many people, including ourselves, of doing the same things in the same way, in the same places. We've even begun to develop a refiring code of conduct," said Larry. He handed them a piece of paper that read, "Refiring code of conduct. Refiring emotionally. Be playful, laugh and kid. Be friendly, smile and be happy. Be joyful, embrace the moment. Be loving, approach and welcome others. Be spontaneous, get out of your comfort zone. Be enthusiastic, give it your all." After reading the list, Wendy looked up and said, "That's marvelous." "We try to read it together every morning," said Janice. "Then we reread it at night before we go to bed to see how well we have done to refire ourselves emotionally." "I love that strategy, setting goals in the morning and then each night seeing how well you did that day," said Harold. "Some days it doesn't work out because of schedule conflicts, but we do it more often than not," said Larry. Wendy handed the paper back to Larry. "Let us hear about some of the specific things you decided to do to make your relationships better, how you're breaking old patterns and refiring your relationship with each other as well as with your family and good friends." "We remembered when our kids were still at home," said Janice. "Every week we would ask one of them to choose a restaurant we would go to that weekend. We told them that no matter what kind of restaurant it was, or where it was, or what was on the menu, we would go. And as I recall, we had some pretty awful meals," said Larry. "True," said Janice, "but we had some pretty good ones, too. I remember when we went to a Hungarian restaurant out in East County. We were the only ones there who spoke English. As I recall, none of us knew what we were eating, and we certainly couldn't pronounce the names of the dishes, but that was one of the best meals I've ever had. So last week I suggested to Larry that if the Hungarian place was still open, we should go there again. It was hard for Janice to believe, but I jumped at the opportunity and we went there the next night," said Larry. "Then we made a list of other restaurants we wanted to try and began brainstorming ideas about some things we could do that are new and different to refire our relationship."
"Good stuff," said Harold.
"To support our refiring efforts, we based all our decisions on the primary tenet of the Last Minute Gang," said Janice. Wendy looked puzzled. "The Last Minute Gang?" "Yes," said Janice. "It's a group of us who've decided that unless there's a compelling reason to say no to a new experience, we say yes, even at the last minute."
"I love that," said Wendy.
"Then we took it even further," said Larry. "We decided that any time we were asked to do something different, see something we hadn't seen before, or go someplace new, our mantra should be, 'Why not? Why wait?'"
"That's brilliant," Wendy said with enthusiasm.
Janice added, "And we asked ourselves, what if we went beyond that and put ourselves into situations that were totally unfamiliar to either of us, but might be fun?"
"Sounds great," said Harold.
"We also decided to adopt the nothing ordinary rule," said Larry.
"What's the nothing ordinary rule?" Harold asked.
"It's a commitment to uniqueness," Janice explained. "We realized that we have so much stuff, individually and together. We decided that when we go shopping for something, like clothing or things for the house, our rule will be not to choose anything ordinary."
"Who decides what's ordinary?" asked Wendy.
"Larry does, or I do, or we decide together. Either one of us can declare something not ordinary.
So when we decide to get something new, it's special. That's the idea," said Larry.
"Then we had another great idea," said Janice. "We decided to think and act like tourists."
And that means? Harold prodded. We do what we do when we're going to a new city. We research where we're going, ask people for ideas about what's interesting to see and do, and then we see those places and do those things. We realized, said Larry, that for the 20 years we've lived here, we've pretty much gone to the same parts of town, the same shops, and the same theaters. We've gone on the same walks and eaten in the same coffee shops and restaurants. In the meantime, lots of new things have happened. New neighborhoods and night spots have cropped up. There's live theater, music, and who knows what. In the past, unless we were invited by someone else, we didn't go to any of these new places. Can you give me an example? Asked Wendy. Sure, said Janice. A good example is the Segway tour downtown. Segway? Asked Harold. Where is Segway? It's not a place, explained Larry. It's a new mode of transportation. I'm sure you've seen it on TV. You stand up on it. It's motorized, so when you lean forward, it moves forward, and when you lean back, it stops. Janice jumped in. We saw an ad in the paper about touring downtown on the Segway. At first, we laughed about it, and then we realized this was a perfect opportunity to get out of our comfort zone and do something new. We talked our friend Rob into going with us. What was amazing, said Larry, is that we've lived in this town more than 20 years, and we saw things on that tour we'd never seen before. That's hysterical, said Harold. I can just see Larry gritting his teeth as he gets on the thing. There was definitely a learning curve, said Larry with a laugh. And I want to compliment you, Larry, said Janice, because I really didn't think you'd give it a try, but you did, and look how much fun we had. It sounds to me, said Wendy, that you guys aren't focusing so much on what you do, but on how you're approaching what you do. You're choosing not to do what's routine, easy, and most convenient, but rather forcing yourselves to stretch and inviting each other to test new, fun, or potentially interesting ideas and ways of doing things. Yes, you guys have challenged yourselves and made real progress in refiring emotionally, said Harold. Pause. Reflect. Take action. How can you apply the nothing ordinary rule to at least one aspect of your life? It's been said that the only way to avoid making a mistake is to never do anything new. If that is how you're living your life, what can you do to change? The next time you go to a restaurant, ask the server what is the best thing the restaurant serves, and order it. Take a car ride, no more than 30 minutes, to somewhere you've never been. Whenever you go out to buy something new, make sure it's special. Nothing ordinary. The second key, refiring intellectually. Chapter 6, Mental Stimulation and Challenge. Driving home from the Tongs, Larry said, I'm really feeling good about the progress I've made on this emotional thing. We've made, Janice corrected with a smile. Right, we. I'm also feeling good about us, he said. Me too, said Janice. But, said Larry, I'm also feeling kind of empty. Since stepping back from running the company, I feel adrift, like I don't really have a purpose or a place anymore. It's funny you mention that, because believe it or not, even though I've taken on this new job, I'm feeling much the same. One of the things about being the executive director is that I'm spending a lot of time doing paperwork. Frankly, the job is not as challenging or stimulating as I thought it would be. It sounds like we're both feeling unfulfilled, said Larry. Are we missing something? Maybe we can ask Dr. Jeffrey about that, said Janice. Good idea, said Larry. So how is your refiring journey going? Dr. Jeffrey asked. As we were telling the Tongs, in a lot of ways, we've made real progress. We're challenging ourselves and each other, Larry said, even with our sex life. With that last remark, Dr. Jeffrey's eyes lit up. He smiled and said, As a researcher of aging, I'm always interested in the sex life of older adults. Tell me more about that. Larry laughed and Janice blushed. At first, we were a little reluctant to talk about it, said Larry. But when we did, Janice jumped in.
We realized that when it came to making love, we did what was comfortable.
That's right, said Larry. We pretty much were doing the same thing, in the same place, often on the same night of the week. And you know what I told Janice? I think we can do better than this. After some candid conversations and with the help of our imaginations, Janice paused to search for the right words. The outcome has been positive. Need we say more?
Bravo, said Dr. Jeffrey. Most couples, as they mature together, don't talk about sex, much less do something about it.
Larry cleared his throat. Enough about sex. The reason we came back to see you today is that I think we need a little more help in other areas.
Maybe a lot more, said Janice.
I'm all ears, said Dr. Jeffrey.
Janice continued, So I told you last time I had this new job. What I'm finding is that this success thing isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Nor is this cutting back on work thing, Larry interjected. As I said to Janice, I'm feeling a little adrift.
It sounds to me, said Dr. Jeffrey, that while you two are growing emotionally, you may have to do more.
Like what? Asked Janice.
In addition to refiring emotionally, you also have to refire intellectually, said Dr. Jeffrey. Growing intellectually is like oxygen to a deep sea diver. Without it, you die, said Dr. Jeffrey. If you're not continuing to learn, you might as well lie down and let them throw the dirt on you, because you're already brain dead.
Why don't you tell us what you really think about the importance of refiring intellectually? Said Larry with a laugh.
You're right. I really do think intellectual growth is important. I'd like you to talk to Maria and Alberto Alvarez, two beautiful examples of older adults who are refiring intellectually. My assistant could give you their contact information. After you've seen them and thought about or perhaps been inspired to act on what they suggest, let's get together again so I can hear the results.
Sounds good, said Larry, and thanks again. We could really use some help, ideas, direction, something, to get out of this funk we're in.
The Alvarezes lived in a sleek, high-rise condominium downtown with a view of the bay. As soon as Larry and Janice saw their smiles, they knew what wonderful, down-to-earth people Maria and Alberto were.
Come right in, said Alberto. We're so glad to meet you both.
Yes, Maria added with a smile. Anyone who's a friend of Dr. Jeffrey can't be all bad. You must be exploring how to make the most of the coming years, or he wouldn't have sent you to us.
You got it, said Larry as they settled into a comfortable seating area in the Alvarez's living room.
We're in a bit of a funk right now, said Larry. I've just cut back on work, while Janice has stepped into a leadership position at her nonprofit.
Surprisingly, even though we've moved in different directions, we're both experiencing a letdown, said Janice.
Larry said, Dr. Jeffrey suggested that it was a head issue. He told us that if we didn't begin to refire intellectually, our ability to think and solve problems might decline, and we could end up walking around half dead like zombies.
Janice shook her head with a laugh. That's a little exaggeration of what he said. But he did emphasize the importance of staying active intellectually. Since he sent us to you as great examples, could you tell us what you do to keep your mind sharp?
Maria and Alberto looked at each other and smiled.
We definitely support each other that way, said Alberto. We just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations, said Janice. You've got us beat by a few years.
Maria said, Alberto and I met in college. And we've been a team ever since, encouraging each other's intellectual growth.
Let me tell you a little about us, said Alberto. Maria and I started a leadership development and consulting company over 30 years ago. Maria really knows how to make things happen, so she became president. I have a background in finance, but my real passion is setting the vision and cheering people on. So I became the chief spiritual officer.
After about 10 years in business, Maria's brother joined us as chief operating officer. Our son and daughter joined us shortly after that and got involved in product development and sales. We formed a family council, and the five of us began to run the company together.
So you have a real family business, said Larry.
Absolutely, said Alberto. A few years ago, we decided it was time to transfer the key leadership responsibilities to Maria's brother
and our two kids.
We didn't want to ride off into the sunset, continued Alberto, so we had to find a way to refire, as you put it, particularly intellectually.
Sometimes I feel like I am riding off into the sunset because I feel out of it, said Larry.
What did you do that I'm not doing?
It sounds like you're taking a big step back from work, is that right? Said Alberto.
Yes, said Larry.
I decided not to do that, said Alberto. I transitioned from my executive duties to explore other ways I could contribute within the organization, like mentoring young leaders.
This gave me time to use some of the skills I had running my company to make a difference in the community.
In what way? Asked Janice.
I was tired of everyone complaining about how badly our city was run, but I knew I didn't want to run for office. So I took a course on public administration at the university to better understand what government could do. I saw that there was a role for me on the financial side, so I volunteered to work in the office of Councilman Chin, who chairs the City Council's Budget Committee.
Wow, that's great, said Larry.
Fred Baker at the Small Business Administration has been hounding me for years to do some volunteer mentoring for young entrepreneurs. I've always wanted to do it. I guess now is the time.
That's a great plan, said Alberto. I'm sure the SBA can use your help.
I did things a little differently, said Maria. I decided to refire intellectually by staying on at the company. A few years ago, I became aware that to be in business today, you have to manage the present and create the future at the same time.
What do you mean? Asked Janice.
Most organizations task people with present-time responsibilities to plan the future. When you do that, the people doing the planning kill the future because they either have a vested interest in the present or are overwhelmed by it.
That intrigued me, Maria continued, and it also seemed very important.
Knowing this was becoming truer every day, I mobilized a couple of other people to join me in creating an Office of the Future, where we study new trends in the economy, society, technology, you name it. At our industry's national convention, my colleagues and I make it a practice to walk the exhibit hall and examine the small booths where most of the new ideas are generated. I constantly have my eyes on the horizon, so I'm continually refiring intellectually.
So you're not just sitting around vegetating, said Janice.
That's for sure, said Alberto. Maria and her colleagues have been invaluable in keeping the company on top of the latest innovations with the internet, teleconferencing, and emerging technologies for staying in touch with clients.
Not only has it been important for the company, but it's also been important for me. I'm excited about learning again, said Maria.
I can see how you two have created a life that keeps you mentally active, said Janice.
But what about people who don't have our options and aren't in the position to create their own intellectually stimulating positions?
No matter what your occupation or position in life, said Alberto, you can create a plan, a curriculum, as it were, to refire intellectually. Whether it's taking classes, joining a book club, taking courses at a nearby university, or immersing yourself in another culture, you can keep your brain cells stimulated.
You've inspired me, said Larry. I'm going to stop complaining and call up the SBA tomorrow.
And Maria, said Janice, hearing you talk about what you did in your company makes me realize that I need to do the same thing in my nonprofit. Maybe I can turn over the paperwork to someone else and do the future-oriented work in our organization that you're doing in your company. Can I call you for pointers when I get into it?
Absolutely, said Maria.
Sounds like you each have a plan, said Alberto. How are you going to support each other?
That's a good question, said Janice. Remember, Larry, I may be spending more time at the office getting this thing off the ground.
Go for it, said Larry. And by the way, I may be spending more time in meetings.
I'll pack you a lunch, Janice said with a smile.
Dr. Jeffrey was right to hold you up as examples, said Larry. You two are inspiring us to refire intellectually on all cylinders. Thanks so much for sharing your stories.
Our pleasure, Maria said as she showed them to the door. Keep us posted on your progress.
We will, Janice promised.
With that, Larry and Janice bid adieu to their new friends.
It was late afternoon as Larry and Janice drove away from the Alvarezes.
Why don't we have an early dinner at that new restaurant we heard about in town? Said Larry.
Good idea, said Janice. It will give us plenty of time to review what we learned from Alberto and Maria and continue developing our own plans for refiring intellectually. For the next several minutes, they talked about how much they admired the Alvarezes and discussed their plans for staying mentally stimulated and challenged. Larry pointed out that Alberto's work with the city not only kept him mentally stimulated, but also fulfilled the generosity aspect of moving from success to significance that Dr. Jeffrey had talked about. Eventually, the conversation died down and the car fell silent as they became lost in their own thoughts. As they neared downtown, Larry broke the silence.
So, what are you going to order for dinner? He asked.
Janice didn't look up as she answered distractedly, Oh, I don't know. I'll see what's on the menu. Maybe they'll have some specials.
What are you doing? Asked Larry, although he already knew what she was doing.
Just texting the kids. I haven't heard from them in a while, and I just wanted to say hello and let them know what's going on.
Why don't you just call them? We've got this Bluetooth thing in the car so you can talk to them and I can listen and we can have a real conversation.
Well, you know Eileen is pretty busy these days. I think at times she resents our calling. When I text, she can read it when she's ready and then get back to me at her convenience.
I think that texting stuff is a bunch of baloney, said Larry. Besides, it's too much trouble. I'm not going to spend my time typing hello on those tiny keys when I can just pick up the phone and say hello.
Some people like smartphones, but I prefer a dumb phone. I can call people and they can call me. I don't even like voicemail. It just bugs me.
Janice put down her phone and gave Larry a long, hard look.
I guess when it comes to refiring intellectually, I'm going to be the one who embraces the future, like Maria. I want to learn about all the new technology and new ways to communicate. It would be fun if learning about new technology was a mutual goal of ours. But I doubt it will be.
That's for sure, said Larry.
Janice sighed. When it comes to technology, Larry, you sound like an old codger. This is too new. That's too complicated. You can't learn this. You don't like that. What's going on here? When the grandkids were down a couple weeks ago, you banned them from using any gadgets. No texting, no emails, no cell phones, no using their tablets. And they really resented you for that.
The way I see it, said Larry, is when people are together, they should be talking to one another, not playing games or reading books or texting or sending emails or whatever. That's just impolite, and it really irritates me when I see it going on.
Why do you think that irritates you so much, Larry?
You aren't someone who generally gets angry, but this seems to really get to you. Is it that you don't know how to do those things and are afraid you can't learn?
Larry remembered the first conversation they'd had with Dr. Jeffrey, who'd pointed out that many older people are reluctant to try new things, be with different people, or put themselves in unfamiliar situations. Their unconscious first response to doing something new and different was to say no. At the time, Larry hadn't thought that applied to him, but his sushi dinner with his grandson Paul had taught him a valuable lesson.
After a long pause, Larry said, "You know, I hate to admit it, but you may be right. This new electronic gadget world is taking over. People don't talk. They tweet. They Instagram. They email. They text. I can't keep up. Everybody's on Facebook. Rob asked me if I was on LinkedIn, and Sandy asked me for my Twitter account. There's all this stuff, and you can bet there's more coming. I'm not certain it's a good thing, and I'm not sure I want to get involved." With that, Larry pulled into a parking space near the new restaurant.
"Larry, you're being a stick in the mud again. If I'm going to be looking to the future, you can't be looking at the past, particularly if you're going to mentor entrepreneurs at the SBA.
Once they were inside and at their table, Janice reached over and patted Larry's hand.
"I'm proud of you for suggesting we come to this restaurant," she said. "Remember last week you told me about asking one of your colleagues to join you for lunch at that great sushi place? When she told you she only liked American food and didn't go to ethnic restaurants, you pointed out how rigid she was and how surprised you were by her lack of openness to new experiences. But in some ways, I'm wondering if you aren't still a little bit like that with new technology."
Larry remained silent.
Janice continued, "We certainly have made some real strides with our last-minute gang policy and our nothing ordinary philosophy. Those new approaches have already made a difference in our relationships and our emotional lives. We need to bring that same mindset to refiring our intellectual lives. Larry finally broke his silence.
I think you have a point there. I need to continue to be more open about learning new things. Alberto and Maria inspired me that way.
Janice squeezed his hand and said, I'm so happy to hear you say that. I was a little worried about how our conversation was going in the car. I don't want us to slip and look at aging as a downhill slide. Since we've been focused on refiring, I've noticed certain things are pretty typical for people as they get older, like losing keys or forgetting what you were looking for when you go into a room. That's just part of aging. But that doesn't mean we can't continue to learn and grow intellectually.
I'm with you, said Larry. Let's figure out what each of us can do on our own to learn new things and refire our minds.
Janice smiled. As I said earlier, I'm the future gal, so I'll learn as much as I can about all the new technological changes. And if you're good, I'll even mentor you into the 21st century. Their server approached the table. She introduced herself with a smile and asked, What can I get for you folks?
What are your specials? Asked Janice.
I'm going to try something really different.
Me too, said Larry.
As they were waiting for their different meal, Janice said, I like your idea to mentor young entrepreneurs at the Small Business Administration. What else do you think you'll do to refire intellectually?
I've been thinking about writing, said Larry.
Writing? Like what? Janice asked, her eyes brightening.
A family history, yours and ours. I've even got a title for it, Enduring Love.
That's sweet, said Janice. How will you begin?
I'll bet the university has a course in creative writing, said Larry. Rather than just hearing a lecture or two, I'd like to take a real class with real students.
What a great idea, said Janice.
A colleague of mine was telling me recently that there is a way where any person can take any class being offered to regular students so long as they get the permission of the instructor.
I didn't know that, said Janice. I wonder if there are any classes in pottery. Learning to make vases and bowls has been a desire of mine for quite a while.
I'll bet the university has classes in creative arts in their continuing education offerings, said Larry.
You're probably right. For a long time now, we've been driving past the university. It's about time we explored it and maybe even became part of it, said Janice.
That's an exciting idea, said Larry. We don't want to be one of those couples that are always talking about what they used to do, what they used to learn, what they used to know. Let's get back into the world of thinking and doing.
You're on, said Janice.
And that's exactly what they did.
Janice shared with their kids what they were up to and asked them to mentor her on all the new technology. Their son-in-law David found a grad student who was a real tech geek to help Janice master her new devices.
Larry found a creative writing course and signed up. He also found a freelance writer who could give him feedback and editorial help. He was really proud of himself, and also proud of Janice, whose artistic gifts were obvious, even in her first attempts at pottery. A few months later, Janice proudly displayed her latest handiwork.
How do you like my new vase? She asked.
That's really great, said Larry. This refiring intellectually isn't too bad.
Larry and Janice decided to stop by Dr. Jeffrey's office to share their excitement. He gave them his usual warm welcome and said, How is my refiring team? Have you added on to your refiring code of conduct?
We sure have, said Janice as she proudly turned on her new tablet and showed a document to Dr. Jeffrey.
Refiring intellectually. Be open to learn. Look for learning in every situation. Be a reader. Constantly search for new information. Be teachable. Let others mentor you. Be courageous. Venture into new areas. Be persistent. Stay with it even when it's difficult.
Dr. Jeffrey nodded his approval.
That's great, and I love that you're using a tablet now.
It's fun, said Janice. My kids are keeping me up to date and are forcing me to master this thing.
I'm even overcoming my technophobia, said Larry. Now that Janice has learned all about the new technology, she's teaching me how to use these new electronic gadgets. I've decided I'm going to become as smart as my phone. She's shown me how to text and use some of the apps. I've joined Facebook, can you believe it? And I'm even learning to Skype. so I can talk with our grandkids on the computer, even if they're across the country. At this rate, I might even learn to Twitter.
You mean tweet, said Janice.
Yeah, Twitter, tweet, however you say it.
Larry, Janice, and Dr. Jeffrey had a big laugh.
Tell me more about your intellectual journey, said Dr. Jeffrey.
Excitedly, Larry shared his plans for writing a family history and mentoring entrepreneurs. Then Janice chimed in to share about refiring her position at the nonprofit and becoming a Potter.
You guys are doing great. Keep it up, said Dr. Jeffrey.
Pause, reflect, take action. What can you do to make your present life more interesting and challenging? What new technology might you embrace, and who can help you learn it? Make a list of the things that used to excite you, for example, acting, photography, model building, poetry, or writing. How can you bring one of these passions back into your life? Either in person or online, take one class in an area you know little or nothing about. The third key, refiring physically. Chapter 7, A Moment of Truth. Janice was fixing dinner when Larry walked through the door.
Hey, was all he could manage.
What's the matter with you? She asked. You look like you've seen a ghost. Is everything okay?
Not really, Larry replied. I just got a call from my doctor's office. I have diabetes.
You have what? She asked.
Diabetes. This is serious, Janice. The doctor said that left untreated, a diabetes patient can go blind or lose a limb or a kidney even.
Now Janice was the one looking shell-shocked. Just like that, out of the blue, you have diabetes?
Larry shook his head. I knew I'd been more tired than usual, and I'd been hitting the men's room more often, but I had no idea it was this serious.
What's the doctor's prognosis? Does he think you'll be okay?
The doctor said it's up to me.
He can give me meds, but that's only a temporary solution. If I want to keep this from getting worse, I have to make changes. Diet, exercise, all the things I know I should be doing.
So, said Dr. Jeffrey, I didn't expect to see you guys so soon again.
We didn't expect to be back this soon either, said Larry. But when I found out I had diabetes...
Type 1 or type 2? Asked Dr. Jeffrey.
Type 2.
Oh, the lifestyle changed diabetes.
You got it, said Larry. I've got to clean up my act.
To be fair, said Janice, it's not only Larry who needs to make changes.
Why do you say that? Asked Larry.
Remember when I had lunch with my friend Charlotte the other day, and I came home looking so upset?
Yes, said Larry. For a minute, I thought it was something I did.
It wasn't about you. Getting to the restaurant had been a real hassle. Downtown was so crowded, I couldn't find a parking place. When I finally did find one, it must have been 10 blocks from the restaurant. By the time I got there, I was sweaty, tired, and irritable.
I remember you telling me what an ordeal that was for you, said Larry.
I knew what Larry was thinking, Janice said to Dr. Jeffrey. He was thinking that part of the reason I got so tired was that I haven't been exercising.
But I didn't say a thing, said Larry.
You didn't have to, said Janice. Like I said, I knew what you were thinking.
So you're a mind reader? Kidded Dr. Jeffrey. You really know what Larry's thinking?
No, I guess I knew what I was thinking. I haven't been taking very good care of myself either, Janice admitted.
Larry turned to Janice and said in a gentle tone, You know, during the reunion weekend, I think we both did a pretty good job of eating well and staying active. But after that, it seems to me you got a bit overwhelmed with your new position and let everything about your health slip.
Yep, said Janice.
As I said, I've known for a while that I need to make some changes, and so do you. Remember how you complained that the cleaner shrank your best pants?
Yes, said Larry.
The cleaner didn't shrink your pants and make them tight. The pants didn't shrink. You grew.
Dr. Jeffrey began to laugh and then stopped himself.
Sounds like you both need to refire physically, he said.
You're probably right, said Janice, but it seems like it will be a lot of work. Like we'll have to turn our lives upside down, said Janice.
Maybe, said Dr. Jeffrey, but it may be easier than you think once you both make the commitment.
What do you have in mind? Asked Larry.
You've both gained weight and don't exercise. Is that right? Asked Dr. Jeffrey.
I try to exercise, said Larry, but I have to admit, I think about it more than I do it.
My exercise program has been non-existent, confessed Janice.
The combination of eating too much and not exercising enough has led to your fatigue, Janice, and the same habits have contributed to your developing diabetes, Larry.
Given those facts, the question is, what should we be doing? Wondered Janice.
I don't want to go on one of those crazy diet programs where you eat nothing but X in the morning and don't have any Y in the evening and don't get to eat anything you like.
Me either, Larry chimed in. I don't want to go on any kind of program that's nothing but twigs, nuts, and green vegetables.
The three of them laughed.
I guess we want the results but aren't willing to change what we do, said Larry.
You may be right, said Dr. Jeffrey, but I do have some ideas.
Like what? Asked Janice.
I think the place to start is exercise, as opposed to trying to deal with food.
Why do you say that? Said Larry.
Because once you've exercised, nobody can take it away from you, said Dr. Jeffrey. On the other hand, when you try to lose weight by cutting calories, you can be perfect 23.5 hours, and then blow it in the last half hour. So I suggest you start with exercise. It's easier to just jump in and do.
Okay, I'm for that, said Larry.
I want you two to begin taking the minimally effective dose.
What in the world does that mean? Asked Janice.
Taking the minimally effective dose means figuring out exactly what you need to do to get the effect you want, Dr. Jeffrey explained.
That sounds like doing nothing, said Larry.
But it's not, said Dr. Jeffrey. The minimally effective dose means doing just enough, but not anything more.
Janice said, to be honest, I've always hated the idea of having to go to a gym, working out with other people, spending a half hour getting there, changing clothes, and then coming home to put myself together.
That's not what you need to do, said Dr. Jeffrey. For people your age who are dealing with the age-typical medical problems, the minimally effective dose of exercise is walking 5 to 6 days a week, 30 to 45 minutes a day.
You've got to be kidding, said Janice. That's all?
I'm not kidding. That's all, said Dr. Jeffrey. That doesn't mean that either of you can't choose to do more exercise if you want to.
I'd like to make a suggestion, said Larry.
What? Said Janice with suspicion.
Since both of us get up early in the morning anyway, and neither of us has to start the day at the crack of dawn, let's experiment with taking a walk every morning. If it's rainy or cold, we can go to the Y and use the treadmills there. We can start off with 30 minutes and then add 5 minutes a week until we decide it's enough.
And that will be our minimally effective exercise dose, said Larry.
But what if it's not enough? Said Janice.
You can check this out with your physician, of course, but I have a lot of older patients, so I know a lot about this, said Dr. Jeffrey.
According to the research I've been reading, it will likely be enough. If you get some good shoes, wear the right clothes, and walk regularly, my guess is you're both going to begin to feel better.
You won't be so tired, Janice, and this will help control your diabetes, Larry.
As a matter of fact, Dr. Jeffrey continued, I read that less than 20% of people over 65 do any exercise on a regular basis. If you commit to walking, you'll be fitter than 80% of your age group. Wouldn't that be great?
Okay, said Janice. We'll start off with exercise. What's next?
My doctor says I need to lose about 20 pounds, said Larry.
I'd like to lose about 15, added Janice.
Those are achievable goals, said Dr. Jeffrey. I suggest that you first stop eating and drinking mindlessly and begin eating and drinking mindfully.
Mindlessly, mindfully, what are you talking about? Asked Larry.
Tell me about what you eat at night, said Dr. Jeffrey.
Larry won't like me telling you this, but before we sit down to eat, Larry has a drink, and then usually one or two glasses of wine with dinner. Almost every night he has a second portion of whatever we're eating, and the last thing he says is, "What's for dessert?"
Dr. Jeffrey turned to Larry. 3 drinks a night, plus dessert, in addition to what you eat for the meal, is obviously too much. I'm guessing this way of eating and drinking has become a habit. You're probably not even aware you're drinking that much.
You're right, said Larry, but I don't want to stop drinking entirely. Besides, I read that drinking 1 or 2 glasses of red wine a night helps to prevent heart attacks.
You don't have a heart problem, sweetie. You have diabetes, said Janice.
I suggest you switch to water or sugar-free iced tea with your meals and a glass or two of wine at social occasions, said Dr. Jeffrey. That's how you can begin to be mindful about drinking.
I have some ideas about how we can be more mindful about what I cook, said Janice. You tell me if I'm on the right track, Dr. Jeffrey.
No grass or twigs, said Larry ominously.
No grass and twigs, but I am going to make some changes, some of which you will be aware of, and some that you won't.
Larry frowned.
Changes? Like what?
To begin with, I can cook differently. I can figure out a way to not make cream sauces and sugary desserts. Tell you what, I'll let you be the exercise guru. How about if you let me be the food guru? I'll make sure we become more aware of when, how, and why we eat.
Let's also try cutting back 20% of how much we eat.
How much we eat?
Janice has a good point, said Dr. Jeffrey. It's not just what you eat, it's also how much you eat.
I think it's really easy to mindlessly eat more than we really need to, said Janice. How often do we keep eating until we feel full or stuffed, as opposed to eating until we feel good and satisfied?
That's another good point, said Dr. Jeffrey. There's a big difference between being stuffed and being satisfied. If you eat until you're full, you've eaten too much. But if you eat until you're satisfied and then stop, you're paying attention to what your body is telling you.
Okay, I'll give it a try, said Larry.
And I promise you one thing, said Janice. Everything I cook will taste really good. There will be no diet foods, no twigs and nuts. So we'll be eating less, enjoying it more, and losing weight.
Janice turned to Dr. Jeffrey.
One other thing. I have a bad habit of eating late at night, especially when I'm feeling stressed or tired or worried. I'm going to have to deal with that problem on my own.
That's not a problem of mine, said Larry.
I know, said Janice. That's why I'm saying it's my issue, not yours. I'll have to figure out what I can do instead of eating when I'm feeling upset.
Okay, I think we have some good plans. Maybe we're done here, said Larry.
What do you mean, done? Asked Dr. Jeffrey.
If we get on a good exercise program and I cook healthier meals, Larry and I will both lose weight. Seems to me that's what Larry means, that we're on our way to refiring physically.
You're off to a good start, said Dr. Jeffrey, but I think you have a couple of other things that you need to deal with if you're serious about getting healthy.
Oh my, that sounds serious, said Janice.
It is, said Dr. Jeffrey, but I don't want to minimize the importance of what you've committed to do. The aerobic exercise you've been talking about is necessary for cardiovascular health, and as you already implied, it is the best way to burn off calories and, in the process, body fat. In terms of nutrition and weight control, no matter how much exercise you do, unless you focus on what you eat, you'll never be at the weight you desire or attain optimal health. So your plans for both those areas are good.
But besides aerobic exercise, nutrition, and weight control, continued Dr. Jeffrey, there are 4 more components of a complete health and fitness program.
What are they? Asked Larry.
Flexibility, balance training, rest/sleep, and strength training.
Strength training, said Larry. You want me to bulk up and develop big muscles?
Rather than me answering questions like that, why don't you go see a coach at the downtown YMCA? I can refer you to the guy who heads up their fitness training program. I'll call him and tell him to expect a visit from you. Before you go to see him, I recommend that each of you make an appointment with your doctor to let him know what you're planning to do.
We'll do it, said Janice. Right, Larry?
Right, said Larry. Your doctor is also better qualified than a coach to talk to you about the importance of sleep and rest.
I like the idea of Janice going to see our doctor, said Larry, but she doesn't always do what he says.
What do you mean? Said Janice.
You know what I mean, Larry replied. I know that you hate to think about this, but what are you doing about your high blood pressure?
Janice frowned. What do you mean, what am I doing? I saw Dr. Frederick and he prescribed some medication and that's that.
That's that? Asked Larry.
Yes, that's that, said Janice.
I know he prescribed medication, but that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not you take the medication, Larry said.
You know I hate taking medication, Larry. Besides, I feel just fine.
Well, I know you feel just fine, but as Dr. Frederick said, with high blood pressure, there don't have to be symptoms.
I think Larry's right, said Dr. Jeffrey. You should do what the doctor prescribes.
I know you're right, said Janice. I should be taking my blood pressure every day and recording it, so when I see the doctor, he knows what's been going on. I also should be taking my medications. I know. I just wish Larry would stop nagging me about it.
Nagging? Said Larry.
I haven't nagged once. It seems to me that not talking about your high blood pressure and not taking your medication means you're avoiding something that's really important. And now Dr. Jeffrey is suggesting we go to Dr. Frederick before we start to refire physically.
I guess losing weight and exercising will lower my blood pressure, said Janice.
Probably, said Dr. Jeffrey. That's something I would ask your doctor. Until you see him, how about you make a commitment to take your medicine every day and check your blood pressure a few times a week?
Janice fiddled with her wedding ring as she considered the question. Finally, she sighed and said, okay.
So, said Dr. Jeffrey, once you get the okay from Dr. Frederick to start refiring physically, go see the coach at the Y.
You've got a deal, said Larry.
After their meeting with Dr. Jeffrey, Larry and Janice realized that refiring physically could be tougher than refiring emotionally or intellectually. Doing as Dr. Jeffrey suggested, they went to see Dr. Frederick. He gave Janice a mild reprimand for not taking her medicine and gave her a new prescription, but was happy to report that everything else with her health was fine. Larry got good news that his blood sugar levels were already lower. Dr. Frederick advised him to keep working on the changes he'd made and prescribed some oral medication. He not only okayed, but also encouraged their new exercise program. They kept their commitment to walk outside or on the treadmill 5 or 6 days a week for 30 to 45 minutes, at least most of the time. There were a few weeks when their schedules got in the way of exercising. What got them back on track was that when they did their walking, they saw a positive difference in their muscle tone and energy levels. Also, they began to notice they felt bloated and less energetic when they didn't eat sensibly. They also went to the coach at the YMCA and learned how to do some beginning strength, balance, and flexibility training.
Pause, reflect, take action.
Identify at least one way you can eat more healthfully. What's a first step you can take to becoming more physically active? What is the obstacle to doing that? How can you remove this obstacle? Set a modest goal, such as losing 5 pounds or walking a mile a day. Set a date to achieve this goal and start today.
Chapter 8. Dealing with Setbacks.
Larry and Janice had just loaded the last of the dinner plates into the dishwasher when the doorbell rang.
That's Phil and Kelly, said Larry, right on time for dessert and decaf.
Their good friends had been missing in action from the last few meetings of the Last Minute Gang. When Janice called to follow up, Kelly explained they would be out of commission for a while because Phil was having some medical problems. Kelly hadn't been specific, and Janice hadn't pried.
Welcome, Janice said as she opened the door. Her smile turned to a look of surprise when she saw Phil.
The man who had been one of the most vigorous people they knew was leaning on a walker. Kelly stood beside him, holding his arm protectively.
Oh my goodness, Phil, Are you okay? Is there anything we need to do for you?
No, said Phil with a laugh. Just watch me gimp over to a chair, and as soon as I'm settled, everything will be fine.
Janice saw them into the living room where a beverage and fruit tray had been set up.
How about some decaf and a fruit plate? Asked Janice.
That sounds great, said Kelly.
Pour one for me too, said Phil.
Larry walked in from the kitchen and stopped in his tracks when he caught sight of Phil negotiating the transition from walker to sofa.
Good grief, Phil, what happened to my golfing buddy?
Well, responded Phil, I was walking around in my study when I suddenly got this incredible pain in my back and shooting pains down my leg. It just came out of nowhere.
That doesn't sound good, said Janice as she handed Phil his cup of decaf. So what did you do?
In my usual way, said Phil, I tried to ignore it, but the pain didn't go away. So I Googled back pain to figure out what was going on. I tried to take care of myself by stretching and doing some floor exercises, which helped a little, but not much. When the pain got worse, I finally called our family doctor and told him what was going on.
And? Prompted Larry.
My doctor said it sounded as though I had some kind of a disc problem. He said that 90% of the time these kinds of problems resolved on their own. He told me not to worry about it. He suggested I take some ibuprofen, rest for a few days, and then get back to him and let him know how I was doing.
So, said Janice.
Of course, I only paid half attention to what he said. Again, I went online and began doing research on discs, pain in the legs, and so on. I saw that it might be something serious, but as my doctor said, 90% of the time it goes away. I cut back on golf and began resting more, but the pain was not going away.
So then, what did you do? Asked Larry.
Kelly intervened.
I could tell that Phil wasn't getting any better, so I urged him to call his doctor again. At that point, his pain was so bad he was having difficulty sleeping, and even having trouble getting dressed.
Phil took a sip of coffee. To make a long story short, I went in, got an MRI, and was told I had a herniated disc and a bunch of other bad spine stuff that comes with aging. The doc said if I didn't have surgery, things could get worse and I might permanently lose some function in my right leg. I rested for a week and got a second opinion at the university's medical school, but there was no way around it. I had to have surgery. I went under the knife a month ago, and here I am on the road to recovery. Some road.
Larry and Janice exchanged a look. Larry took a deep breath and said, Man, Phil, that sounds rough.
Phil let out a cheerless laugh.
I'll say, it's been the most interesting, challenging, humbling, educational, painful, complicated experience of my life.
In what way? Asked Janice.
I've always been a healthy guy and have never had any serious medical problems. I'd never even been in the hospital as an adult and hadn't had an operation since my tonsillectomy when I was 4 years old. So going through this health crisis was not only new but also very, very scary. It might be less overwhelming for people who have been dealing with different illnesses over the years, but as someone who's always been healthy, I took it hard. It literally knocked me off my feet.
Larry nodded.
I can relate to that, he said. That's how I felt when I got my diabetes diagnosis.
What in particular was scary for you?
The surgery was more complicated than expected, which was frightening. My hospital stay was longer than anticipated, and all of the rosy assurances that I'd be pain-free in a few days, walking at the end of a week, back to myself in another week, and going to my office by the end of the month, proved to be overly optimistic. It scared me that I might not ever really get better.
Phil has been having a really hard time, said Kelly. He endured having to be in bed for over 2 weeks, which was a struggle, and he needed help getting dressed and even taking a shower. Fortunately, most of that is behind us. He hates using a walker. I feel powerless watching him try to figure out how to deal with all of this.
Janice offered Phil a plate of grapes and sliced melon.
I know at least two other people who've had back problems, but they don't talk about it very much.
I can understand why, said Phil. As we've shared my experience with others, we're finding out that back issues are fairly common. In fact, back pain is the leading cause of disability in Americans over 45,
and as many as 1 in 3 people are going to have a back problem at some point after they're 65.
You said this has been a learning experience, said Larry. In what way?
I'm learning that I'm not as infallible as I thought. I'm learning what it's really like to be in pain. I'm learning how to ask for help. I learned how to take a shower sitting down and have Kelly put my socks on because I was prohibited from bending over for the first couple of weeks.
The room became silent.
Suddenly, Phil laughed out loud. I'm appreciating on a whole new level what this refiring stuff is all about.
And at that moment, the old Phil returned.
I may not be able to take any more mountain climbing trips with my buddies, he continued, but I'm sure going to be able to reach a place where I can take a walk on the beach with Kelly. At this point in my refiring journey, I'm not going to be able to work very much, particularly if it means sitting in a chair for hours at a time, because that's not what this body is capable of doing right now. On the bright side, this condition forces me to think about what other things I can do to get myself going.
I wish I'd known what you were going through, Phil, so I could have helped out, said Janice.
I didn't want to burden anyone, said Phil.
So you've been suffering in silence, teased Larry.
More or less, Phil admitted. To be honest, I had to fight the temptation to give up.
What do you mean? Asked Janice with a look of alarm.
I got depressed and really down on myself. I kept trying to figure out why this had happened. I felt picked on by fate or God or who knows what, and was beginning to think of myself as a permanent invalid.
But you know what? Said Kelly. The kids would have none of it.
The kids? Larry and Janice said together.
Yes, the kids. They called up their dad and told him they expected him to recover, that they would not accept his giving up. They said that while part of his recovery might depend on the outcome of his surgery, a lot of it would depend on how hard he was willing to work to gain his strength back, do physical therapy, and whatever else he had to do. They were supportive, but straightforward. It was tough love all over again, but this time Phil was on the receiving end instead of dishing it out.
It's true, added Phil. The kids and I switched roles. Rather than me being there for them when they were in trouble, they were there for me.
Larry smiled. I remember the first time that happened to me.
A few years ago when I was still skiing, my youngest daughter had to slow down to wait for me and make sure I was okay, as opposed to my slowing down and waiting for her to make sure she was okay. It was a weird feeling.
Janice warmed up Phil's coffee.
So now that you're getting to the other side of all this, what have you learned? She asked.
I'm still learning, Phil replied. I'm learning that bad things can happen to anyone. There aren't any guarantees or free passes in life. I'd said those words before, but now I really understand them. I've learned that it's easy to feel optimistic and ready to refire when you're feeling good, but not so easy when you're feeling bad. I've learned to appreciate the simpler things, like being able to come over here and visit with the two of you, or take a short walk in front of my house, or go to the movies, which I'll be able to do next week once I've gotten the okay to sit for a few hours at a time.
I've learned a lot from this too, said Kelly.
Such as? Janice prodded.
I've learned that no matter what your circumstances are, you still have a choice about how to deal with those circumstances.
I learned that from seeing what a difference it made once Phil listened to his kids and turned his attitude around.
It wasn't just the kids that turned me around, said Phil. A lot of it was that I just got mad.
Mad? What do you mean? Asked Larry.
I got mad at myself for being a whiner. I got fed up with myself for being so passive and acting like a wimp, waiting for other people to come to my rescue. I just got mad.
And when Phil gets mad, said Kelly with a smile, you know what happens?
What? Asked Janice.
His anger activates him. It gets him going. It's the opposite of when he's depressed, when he just sits around and mopes. When Phil gets angry, he gets creative. He reaches out and does the sorts of things that have made him successful in other parts of his life.
It's one of the things I love about him.
So I got mad and saw that my recovery was up to me, said Phil. I couldn't wait for other people. The surgeon had done his thing, and now if I was going to do the things I wanted to do, I would have to stop sitting around moping and begin acting. I called up two friends who'd gone through the same type of operation, and both of them were now doing pretty well.
My friend Don, who was 6 months post-surgery, said his healing had taken a long time, much longer than the surgeons had led him to believe. He was finally getting back into the swing of things and walking without any type of aid. My other friend Walt actually came over and visited. Like Don, his recovery had taken much longer than expected, but he was now living a full and active life, pretty much back to what he was doing, maybe at the 80 to 90% level.
That was a great idea, getting encouragement from people who'd walked in your moccasins, said Janice.
Did they give you any pointers?
They both said that choosing a good physical therapist was really important, so we found someone who was personable and knowledgeable. I'm happy to report that I'm through my first week of physical therapy and I think it's going to work.
Actually, said Kelly, Phil has been off the walker for 2 weeks. We only brought it tonight because we didn't know how far away we'd have to park. But he's using the cane now and walking on his own.
Phil shook his head. I'm amazed how tired I get after an hour of physical therapy, especially when I think about how much exercise I used to do.
On the bright side, said Kelly, we have been out to dinner.
And in addition to a movie next week, believe it or not, we're going to a dinner dance next Saturday night. I'll have to come with a cane, though.
Kelly smiled. And we probably won't be doing much dancing. But the point is, we'll be there with our friends and back to living a real life.
Way to go, said Larry.
Kelly reached over and put her hand on Phil's arm. This whole ordeal has taught us that refiring is not just for the hale and hearty. It's something you can do even if you're not 100% well. So much of our health and recovery from illness depends on our attitude. Phil and I have decided to accept what comes and at the same time stay focused on what's positive. Every single day.
Later that night, after Larry and Janice had climbed into bed, they reflected on the evening.
I was so shocked to see Phil using a walker when I opened the door, Janice said.
What surprised me, said Larry, is that Phil, who is usually so enthusiastic and positive, wound up being like anybody else when he was suddenly confronted with a physical limitation.
Yeah, that was interesting, said Janice. I was so impressed by how open and honest they both were about the ups and downs they've been through. I admire that, because you know what? Anything could happen to any of us, any time.
Phil's a great role model, said Larry. He really drove home the point that it's up to us to determine how to deal with a setback. I'm so glad he's decided he's not going to allow this to take over his life.
And I like what Kelly said about refiring not just being for those who are physically strong. I have a sense that Phil and Kelly may be the most successful refirers of all.
One morning, Larry stepped on his scale and saw that he was halfway to his goal of losing 20 pounds.
Time to go see Dr. Jeffrey, he said to Janice. I want to brag a little.
On their way to Dr. Jeffrey's office, Janice commented, After seeing Phil struggle to recover from his back injury, I feel so grateful we've been able to refire physically over the past few months.
That's for sure, said Larry. I'm not going to take it for granted that I can pop into the Y and do a few sets of leg presses and bicep curls.
When they settled into their seats in Dr. Jeffrey's office, Larry and Janice were excited to share with him their refiring physically code of conduct.
Refiring physically. Be healthy. Honor and strengthen your body. Be an exerciser. Move your body. Be a smart eater. Eat less and enjoy more. Be energetic. Play hard. Rest well. Stay flexible. Stretch every day. Learn balance. Practice standing on one foot.
After Dr. Jeffrey looked up with an approving smile, Larry and Janice grew animated as they shared not only what they'd been doing to refire physically, but also what they'd learned about dealing with setbacks. Larry even showed off his improved pecs.
I thought these chest muscles were gone for good, Larry said with a laugh. Dr. Frederick praised me for the progress I've made and said my numbers are getting better and better.
Guess it just goes to show that you can get back on the horse, even after falling off.
Janice gave Dr. Jeffrey a demonstration of how she could stay balanced on one foot at a time for almost a minute.
We're starting to feel like new people, said Janice. A friend of ours had a debilitating back injury this year, which has made us especially aware of how lucky we are
to even be able to use the gym.
Now that's a winning attitude, said Dr. Jeffrey.
Pause, reflect, take action. Identify a setback, physical, financial, emotional, that you've gone through. How did you react? What did you learn that can help you more effectively deal with any future setbacks? What setback or challenge are you currently dealing with? What are the things you can do to address this setback or challenge? Choose one thing you can do and start this week.